This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot. The murder count has grown in an attack on Mormon worshipers as they prayed this morning in Grand Blanc, Michigan.
There is a couple additional bodies that we've discovered in the church. So that makes our total victim count up to four.
Police Chief William Renier, the nightmare began when a man drove his truck, a four-door pickup with two American flags, through the church doors, sprayed those inside with bullets, then set the place on fire.
We were on scene within 30 seconds from that original 911 call. Within 8 minutes, that suspect was neutralized in the back parking lot of the church.
Police Chief William Renier says there were hundreds inside the church when this happened. Not much is known about the shooter, other than he's a 40-year-old Iraq war vet who came from a nearby town. This is ABC News. Would Americans really want to sit through a nearly three-hour-long movie about political rebellion? Apparently, yes.
One battle after another, Paul Thomas Anderson's American epic of political rebellion and resistance opened with $22.4 million in ticket sales from North American theaters over the weekend, say studio estimates. It cost $130 million to make. Starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Teyana Taylor, and Sean Penn, the movie took in $26 million overseas.
Let's get the dollhouse back!
Second was Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie, with $13.5 million. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle was third, and The Conjuring Last Rites fourth.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Dolly Parton canceling her Vegas shows for December for a medical procedure. At the California wedding of Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco, her Only Murders co-star Steve Martin and Martin Short, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran giving speeches on Instagram where Selena is the woman with the most followers, the groom bragged, "I married a real-life Disney princess." Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's the Packers and the Cowboys. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Dallas, where the Packers take on the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. On defense, Green Bay's Rashawn Gary currently leads the NFL in quarterback sacks. So how much credit does trading with the Cowboys for Micah Parsons have to do with that? I asked defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
I think you got to give credit to Rashawn. You know, I said it during training camp. I saw it during OTAs. I saw the way he worked in the offseason. He came back in great shape. Worked on his get off, worked on his pass rush. It's what he does every day, and it's what he did in training camp. And that's what we were hoping we were going to see, and we have. He's finishing on the quarterback. I think he's playing really good in the run game. He's playing more snaps because he's in better shape. He knows the defense. He has a better understanding of it. I think he's had a really good start, and we just need to continue because it's just a start, right? And he's got to get better and better, and we got to coach him better and better.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley with Sports on Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine, highs in the mid-80s on Monday. Monday night, partly cloudy, a low around 58. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high around 82. Around 80 for Wednesday and 81 on Thursday.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man.
Yeah. Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, September 26, 2025. Welcome, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along at the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison. Intersection of State Street and Fairchild. Beautiful. Let's take a look at the Sam Davidson street cam, Mr. Zommers. Beautiful day out there in downtown Madison. Blue skies. Leaves just starting to get a little bit more yellow day by day. How are you?
Doing all right, you know. Very tired today. It happens sometimes, yes. Despite the bright sunshine outside.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's going to be beautiful weather this weekend. Look, there's a biker for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter.
A couple of bus.
And a huge bus going by. Watch out!
The big, like, stretchy bus.
Yeah, exactly. Going to be a great weekend. Brittany Merlot and the meteorological team telling us to get outside near record temperatures in parts of Wisconsin tomorrow, in the low to mid 80s for highs, sunny skies, no Badger football tomorrow. Perhaps, thank goodness. But I do have my Green Bay Packer polo shirt on. Packers going to Green Bay or to Dallas to take on the Jerry Joneses and the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. So we'll talk a little bit about Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, having updates on that throughout the weekend. So that's fantastic. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to have Brady Ewing, our friend and ongoing contributor, former Badger football player and NFL veteran in. Going to talk a little bit about the brouhaha with Barry Alvarez calling out fans and get Brady's take as a player, both collegiately and as a professional. How much does it affect you when fans kind of turn on you, your own fans? And then what is the it factor with the Brewers? Good to hear from Pat Murphy again, the manager of the Crew. Of course, had a big pancake breakfast this morning at AmFam Field. Looked like a huge turnout. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy on what he told the crowd this morning in Milwaukee as the Brewers return home tonight to close out the regular season against the Cincinnati Reds. So that should be a great, you can hear it on several of the stations here on Civic Media later on tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later with Brady as well. And bow season, if you're a bow hunter with the archery bow season for deer hunting, that begins this weekend as well. So, and we'll, it's always fun talking to Brady. So that's a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
That it always is. You know, with it being bow hunting opening up this weekend,
yes,
and my dad freshly retired, I know exactly where he's going to be.
Be in a stand somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. It'll be a great weekend. A little warm, but a great weekend to do it. Before I forget, my favorite oldest godson, Alex Kohler, his birthday is tomorrow.
Happy early birthday.
On the 27th. So a shout out to my ahijado, as they say in Spanish. Alex, happy birthday to you. He'll probably be celebrating with his wonderful girlfriend, partner. We're all waiting for him to pop the question eventually.
Oh, really?
Look, they're very happy, and why spoil it with a wedding? You know, they've been together a long time. They get along great. They're down there in beautiful Indianapolis. So happy birthday, Alex. Hope you and Keegan have a great weekend this weekend down there in Indy. So big show coming up. Of course, we got what's worse for you today. Coffee and beer has to do with that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the old green and gold text to win contest in hour number two. But at 10 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, we have breaking news for you.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
That's right. This is big news from the Republican side of the aisle on the Wisconsin gubernatorial race. Fresh in, right before we came on the air, courtesy of Matt Smith at WISN in Milwaukee Television. Republican businessman Bill Berrien is dropping out of the race for governor. It comes just days after the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that Berrien followed several sexually explicit writers online. Matt Smith says Berrien tells him he does not see a path forward. In a statement, Bill Berrien said, quote, "As a result of our politics today, I cannot focus on the issues I know will turn Wisconsin around. I have come to the conclusion I do not have a path to the nomination."
You know what Gen Z and Gen Alpha would say about this?
What would they say?
Skill issue.
What is it?
Skill issue.
Skill issue. All right.
You can't focus? Well, it's your own fault. You suck, kind of thing.
Look, I love every part about this story. And we covered this, Dan Bice, a great writer at the Journal Sentinel, earlier this week, had some great reporting. And we'll get into that in a minute. But today's announcement that Bill Berrien is pulling out comes after WBAY Television reported news from your hometown, Mr. Zomers, in Manitowoc. Governor candidate Bill Berrien canceled a Republican event appearance in Manitowoc. He was supposed to be the keynote speaker at a Manitowoc County Republican event taking place at Lincoln Park. However, a few minutes before 6 o'clock last night, organizers placed a call to his campaign and were told Berrien would not be showing up and decided to cancel after what they described as a very rough week.
Yeah.
You think? The county, get this, the county chair then made the announcement to the crowd inside the shelter, and some people applauded.
Yeah, I bet I know what this was. And yeah, that's just hilarious.
The controversy continues to attract national attention. And as of last night, WBAY reported in Green Bay it could impact his support with Republican voters and the Republican leader. This is a fantastic quote from Colin Barnell, the chairman of the Manitowoc County Republican Party. The chairman said, quote, "I'm not too pleased about it as we try to put forward candidates that are of the utmost character and caliber. I was disappointed to see that the headlines, those headlines, as we try to get our Republicans elected to office. Obviously, this is not something that's beneficial to the Republicans running for office. So I was very disappointed at this as well," unquote. You think that's how he talks?
Very possibly.
Berrien called it, this whole incident, quote, a garbage political hit, unquote. A garbage political hit, unquote. Here's the deal. And we talked about this with our friend Dan Schaefer, a political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. It's not the fact that, oh, this is salacious and somebody is following adult content online. That in and of itself, as long as all those involved are legal and it's consensual, look, people can do whatever they want in their private lives. What makes this news is this guy, Bill Berrien, spent millions of dollars on ads, by the way, and he made attacking people such as trans individuals and others in the LGBTQ plus community, made that he's the one that made it an issue and said, I'm going after these folks because they're bad. All right. That's the issue here. And then Dan Bice does what Dan Bice does, which is digs into things. And by the way, this is a quote from a recent Bill Berrien ad. Quote, take it from a dad and a coach. I will keep boys out of our daughter's sports and locker rooms, unquote. He also said he wanted to protect our daughter's sports, unquote. He followed, and this is all public knowledge that Dan Bice uncovered. There's a platform, I guess like Substack, but an older one called Medium.com. Medium.com. And it turns out Berrien has an account on Medium.com that was or is following a transgender porn star named Jiz Lee and several other authors of sexually explicit essays. If that wasn't enough, he also followed Octavio Morrison, who is author of Seven Types of Orgasmic Sensations and Three Terrible Reasons to Have a Threesome. Also followed Emma Austin, who calls herself, quote, a wholesome perv with a touch of whimsy, unquote, and who posted articles such as, quote, I love getting jackhammered, unquote.
And, you know, again, of this stuff would matter.
But not exactly what you would expect a guy like Bill Berrien, who's calling out and trying to vilify the trans community. You wouldn't expect a guy like that to follow things like this.
Well, actually, I would.
Well.
Because this tends to happen.
This tends to happen.
It's often projection.
Here's another one. Another article that Bill Berrien liked on this public platform. An article called, quote, my husband loves watching me flirt with another man, unquote, who identifies as a queer, trans, non-binary adult performer. Now, Berrien's campaign said there was nothing hypocritical about it. I'm laughing because it's so preposterous. And clearly it is because the guy just dropped out.
Yeah.
One more. He also was liking and following another author named Sherry Mail, who authored a column called, quote, nine types of couples who want to have a threesome with you. Three parts for transformative orgasmic pleasure, unquote. I mean, did he really think he was going to get away with this?
Well, it was years ago.
Now, in this article from WBAY in Green Bay, the adult actor Jiz Lee put out this quote saying, quote, it's okay to follow trans porn stars. It's okay to read articles about sex and relationships. What's not okay is the hypocrisy of backing forceful legislation that restricts what people, trans, and otherwise could do with their own bodies. That is shameful, unquote. She posted that on Blue Sky.
And yeah, 100%
agree. 100%
agree
with her. Absolutely. the chairman of the Manitowoc County Party says, I think we have some other great candidates out there as well. So I think that people can use their own discrimination in weighing Bill Berrien versus those other candidates. The announcement now, the Bill Berrien has pulled out, which for conservatives is the preferred method.
Yes.
And it also appears that with Tom, this comes the day after Tom Tiffany, or 2 days after Tom Tiffany got in. So you had Tom Tiffany, you had Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, and with Bill Berrien, Bill Berrien finally found a threesome that he was not comfortable being a part of. So Bill Berrien, gone.
Come and knock on our door.
He didn't want it.
We've been waiting for you.
He was playing Mr. Roper.
The kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too.
Bill Berrien says, I'm out of here. I can't take this type of threesome. is down to two on the Republican side. We'll come on back to discuss other news of the day on Civic Media's radio network.
You'll see that life is a ball again. Laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
1, 2, 3, not only you and me, got 180 degrees and I'm caught in between, counting 1, 2, 3, Peter Pan, Mary, getting down with 3 feet, everybody loves
me. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on a TGIF Friday afternoon, just me and Zomers, nobody else.
Just two, not three. Britney Spears might be singing about
Britney Spears.
But for us, just two.
Welcome back to the show. I knew it was going to be a good show before we started, and then right before we came on the air, this all hit, and I said, now it's going to be a great show. People in my former party cannot help themselves. And it all goes back to what my granddad used to say growing up, when he said, be careful who you point the finger at, because there's always three pointing back at you. And he's still right.
And similarly, thou doth protest too much.
Yeah. And to Bill Berrien, I mean, as long as it's legal, consensual content, Bill Berrien can do whatever he wants. But don't attack people for doing what you're doing behind closed doors. Don't be the hypocrite. So now we're down to just two, Josh Showman and Tom Tiffany on the Republican side for gubernatorial candidate. Also, more hot and fast today. More breaking news right before we came on the air. This is courtesy of Brian Stetler of CNN. Sinclair today announced that it will be ending its preemption of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and the show will return this evening on Sinclair's ABC affiliates. Big news. Stetler also published the entire statement from Sinclair. And this is huge, as we talked with Keegan Kelly of Crack.com yesterday. What Donald Trump and Nexstar and Sinclair, the two big private companies that hold ABC affiliate stations, they went to war with Jimmy Kimmel and Disney and really the public and thought that they could strong arm and get rid of a voice, free speech. And what in turn, what has actually happened here, thanks to Americans, is it's backfired. And it's shown once again, just like what the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois, when you stand up to a bully, that was over bringing military and full active military and ICE and also potentially National Guard troops into Chicago. And the mayor and the governor said, no, it's not going to happen here. And Trump backed away. Well, now in this statement, I'm going to read a little bit to you, statement from Sinclair. Saying, quote, our objective throughout this process has been to ensure that programming remains accurate and engaging the widest possible audience. We take seriously our responsibility as local broadcasters to provide programming that serves the interest of our communities while also honoring our obligations to air national network programming. Gonna summarize the next part of it. Basically, it's saying that they've gotten thoughtful feedback from viewers. I bet they have. Some not so thoughtful, I'm sure. And here's what it gets interesting. Quote, these proposals were suggested as collaborative efforts between ABC affiliates and ABC Network. While ABC and Disney have not yet adopted these measures, and Sinclair respects their right to make those decisions under our network affiliate agreements, we believe such measures could strengthen trust and accountability, unquote. What Sinclair is proposing is what Paramount Skydance agreed to do at CBS, which was appoint an ombudsman, a watchdog, who is pro-Trump. But Disney said, no, we're not doing it. ABC said, no, we're not doing it. And we talked about this yesterday with Keegan. There were reports, although unconfirmed, but reports that Disney said to Sinclair and the other big affiliate holder, Nexstar, hey, you don't want to air Jimmy Kimmel? Fine. Guess what? You also don't get Monday Night Football and ABC's World News Tonight with David Muir. Two big properties. And call their bluff. And now we'll see what Nexstar does. But Sinclair is back down. They say in their statement, quote, our decision to preempt this program was independent of any government action or influence. Free speech provides broadcasters with the right to exercise judgment as to the content on their local stations. While we understand not everyone will agree with our decisions about programming, it is simply inconsistent to champion free speech while demanding that broadcasters air specific content, unquote. So Jimmy Kimmel, the big winner. As it should be, by the way. And we've said before, very proud of this network, this company. They have made clear to me and every other on-air host that we are not being censored. There should be no fear of coming in every day that, oh my gosh, if I say something, I'm going to get in trouble. I mean, obviously, we can't come on here and tell bold-faced lies or intentionally misdirect people. But as long as is an opinion based in truth, and we're giving our opinion on something that is factual, Civic has made it clear that, look, we're behind you. And that means a lot. And that means hopefully a lot to our listening and viewing audience, because what you can expect then is that what Civic puts on from our news department, which is separate from the talk side, but our reporters on the news side are going to pass on to you, report to you the truth, unfiltered, whether that's bad for Republicans or bad for Democrats. They're going to tell you how, what, when, where, why, and how. On the talk side, I can only speak for this program, but I'm pretty confident my colleagues as well. We're not going to come on here and gin people up with things that are untrue, and we're also not going to hold back the truth for fear of retribution from the FCC or anybody else. And that's the way it should be. There's a lot of things on conservative talk radio in this state that I do not agree with. But I support their right to go on the air and say it. So Good for Jimmy Kimmel. Good for Disney. Good for ABC. We're going to come back, talk with Brady Ewing about free speech of Barry Alvarez. We'll play the cut, get Brady's opinion, bull hunting, and more. But first, the farm news with our friend Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot. The murder count has grown in an attack on Mormon worshipers as they prayed this morning in Grand Blanc, Michigan.
There is a couple additional bodies that we've discovered in the church. So that makes our total victim count up to 4.
Police Chief William Renier, the nightmare began when a man drove his truck, a four-door pickup with two American flags, through the church doors, sprayed those inside with bullets, then set the place on fire.
We were on scene within 30 seconds from that original 911 call. Within 8 minutes, that suspect was neutralized in the back parking lot of the church.
Police Chief William Renier says there were hundreds inside the church when this happened. Not much is known about the shooter, other than he's a 40-year-old Iraq war vet who came from a nearby town. This is ABC News.
It's the Packers and the Cowboys. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Dallas, where the Packers take on the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. On defense, Green Bay's Rashawn Gary currently leads the NFL in quarterback sacks. So how much credit does trading with the Cowboys for Micah Parsons have to do with that? I asked defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
I think you got to give credit to Rashawn. You know, I said it during training camp. I saw it during OTAs. I saw the way he worked in the offseason. He came back in great shape. Worked on his get-off, worked on his pass rush. It's what he does every day, and it's what he did in training camp. And that's what we were hoping we were going to see, and we have. He's finishing on the quarterback. I think he's playing really good in the run game. He's playing more snaps because he's in better shape. He knows the defense. He has a better understanding of it. I think he's had a really good start, and we just need to continue because it's just a start, right? And he's got to get better and better, and we got to coach him better and better.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine, highs in the mid-80s on Monday. Monday night, partly cloudy, a low around 58. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high around 82. Around 80 for Wednesday and 81 on Thursday.
Right now, it's 62.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month to or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now, past the hour, 2 o'clock on a Friday, TGIF, September 26, 2025. Coming up on our three-year anniversary, Zombers, in next month.
Yeah,
November, I guess.
Yeah, right? November 14th, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pursuing Truth, Wherever It May Lead, and Having Fun Doing It, that was from day one.
Well, Pursuing Truth... Wherever right. It may lead was day one.
And then we added on.
We added fun. Having fun doing it. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we want to have some fun too. So there you go. Fantastic. By the way, in my senility, in my old age, in my exuberance on Bill Berrien pulling out of the Wisconsin governor's race, I misspoke. Brady Ewing is at 3:30 today. For a long time, he was at 2:30. And then he said, well, why don't we try 3:30? I said, absolutely. So Brady will be here an hour from now. Set your alarm clocks. The kids will be coming home from school and sit them down. Because Brady is great at talking to people of all ages. From old to young, anybody in between. We'll be talking in sports with Brady at 3:35. 3:35 is offers. So I want to finish a couple more minutes on this Sinclair bit. Sinclair announcing that they are going to reinstate Jimmy Kimmel tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC. And worth noting, and Zomer and I were talking about this over the break, that Sinclair has already changed their position a little bit of cleaning things up. And I think this is reflective over, again, what Keegan Kelly and I talked about yesterday, which is this is a big moment. And it has maybe less to do with late night, although that is going to be the immediate benefactor, in my opinion, of all this. It has to do with free speech for all of media and all of broadcasting. And the important takeaway is here, I think, that if you stand up to a bully, in this case, Trump and the Trump administration, you're better off than bending a knee and politically genuflecting and saying, yes, whatever you want, because they'll just keep on coming at you. So Sinclair, Zomer, as you said, changed. We don't need to go deep into it, but just the main point of it.
Yeah, the main point. On the 17th, when Jimmy Kimmel
was suspended.
When the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, went on a podcast and said, you know, that, oh, this is the sickest behavior possible, very mafia boss type behavior. Mm. Sinclair posted a press release on their website and they said, quote, "We appreciate FCC Chairman Carr's remarks today, and this incident highlights the critical need for the FCC to take immediate regulatory action to address control held over local broadcasters," unquote. Interesting. So you say this was an independent decision, and then you name the mafia don who said it'd be a shame if something happens to your TV network.
Right. And again, I think Sinclair, as they say, has got religion. They've figured it out that they're on the losing side of this. Because clearly, if reports are true, and to be clear, they were never substantiated, but it came from a number of sources that ABC Disney is the parent company of ABC, basically said to Sinclair, if you don't start showing Kimmel again, you have the right to do that. But as per our agreement, we also have the right to not allow you to carry Monday Night Football and the World News with David Muir, which are two big moneymakers, where local affiliates sell ads within those national broadcasts that make them a lot of money. So my old broadcasting professor, Jack O'Neill from University of Platteville, was right. He came in, wrote a dollar sign on the board, said, it all comes down to that. What's new in your world of communications? And Jack was right. Too often it comes down to the money factor. Other big news today on a Friday. It seems like it's, what do they call the Friday news dumps? This isn't so much a news dump, but things happen that impact the news on a Friday. James Comey under indictment now. We know about lots of history with James Comey. And there's a lot. We could get deep into this, but I thought, what better place to turn to than Fox? And we don't play a lot of Fox on this show. But once in a while, by the way, this comes from the Fox business side, the Fox business side of things. And this is Keep Me Honest, Summers. This is from the Maria Bart. What is it?
Bartiromo, yeah.
That's it. Maria Bartiromo is on with this guy, Andrew McCarthy, talking about the indictment of James. And Bartiromo is trying her best to make it look like this is legit. But Andrew McCarthy isn't having it. Here it is from Fox Business.
First, give us your reaction to the indictment.
Well, I don't think there's a case. You know, the things that Kesh Patel that you just played, that he was talking about, that you and I have spoken about for years, Maria, the Russiagate stuff, I'm as big a critic of that probably as there is. I wrote a book about it. I think it was a disgrace, and history will remember it that way. This indictment is not about that, and it seems to be premised on something that's not true, which is that McCabe said that Comey authorized him to leak to the Wall Street Journal. If you look closely at what McCabe said was that he directed a leak to the Wall Street Journal and told Comey about it after the fact. So it's true that Comey never authorized it in the sense of okaying it before it happened. So I don't see how they can make that case.
What about the leaking in general? I mean, what about leaking a story that they may have known was a lie to the media? Because if you're the director of the FBI, you need the evidence to say, yeah, I mean, you know, for years, congressmen and lawmakers were trying to understand, Devin Nunes, John Ratcliffe, trying to understand what's the origins of this investigation. So what was the origins of Russia collusion with Trump? And so they never really had any evidence of it, but they leaked it to the press?
Yeah, but that's not what this case is about. I totally agree with you if you were talking about the information that was provided to the FISA court that claimed that Trump was in collusion with the Kremlin. But that's not what this case is about. What this case is about is Comey is accused of lying because what Ted Cruz said, and this, yeah, right, and what Cruz said, and I think this was just a garble on his part, was that Comey authorized McCabe to orchestrate the leak. And what the inspector general found, and this isn't even just what the inspector general found, this is McCabe's own version of events.
Right.
McCabe said that he directed the leak and he told Comey about it afterwards. Now, they have a dispute about what exactly McCabe told Comey afterwards and whether Comey was approving or disapproving of it. But the charge is that Comey authorized the leak authorize the leak.
I see. Well, the judge assigned...
Maria Bartiromo. Oh, I see.
And it just moves on.
It just moves on. Now, you're asking, I know that's a lot. And you're like, what does that really actually mean? Like, I'm no attorney, but guess who is an attorney? Andrew McCarthy, who is doing the talking there. He's an American lawyer. He also happens to be a columnist for the National Review. He served as the assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. All right? He's a Republican. And by the way, he's no friend of Democrats. During the presidency of Barack Obama, McCarthy characterized Obama as a radical and a socialist, alleging that Obama was advancing an agenda. And so for McCarthy, that's the reason that I played this, is that when a conservative Republican, an attorney like Andrew McCarthy, who is anti-Obama, when he goes on Fox Business and says, there ain't nothing here,
especially after criticizing the same guy a lot previously, right, publicly, and writing, yes, a whole book about it.
Right. And to the point that McCarthy is making there, as an attorney, a prominent attorney, as a former United States assistant, United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, is saying, look, you can say all this stuff, but James Comey, there's no evidence to show that James Comey directed a leak of any kind, that people told him about it. So I think that a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me on the law. We got Maggie Dawn that comes after us, who actually is an attorney. We've got Jim Santelli. You can hear his program on Saturdays. Amicus, a law review. I think a lot of people, Matt Flynn, attorney, people who know the law are saying, look, the judge may just throw all this crap out, this indictment. And Matt Flynn has told us and others, you know, the old phrase is, you can indict a ham sandwich. The bar to indict someone is not real high. Whether it sticks, that's another matter. But I wanted to play that from Fox Business, from a conservative former assistant United States attorney from the Southern District on Fox News saying, look, ain't nothing here on James Comey.
I think it's very telling.
855-752-4842. Go to the phone lines. Mark in Prairie du Sec. Mark, how's it going?
It's going okay. And what gets me, and I've said this before, that there is evidence that Donald Trump indeed was involved with Russia. After all, Trump said, Russia, if you're listening, can you get those emails for me? And that Paul Manafort was actually convicted of, for being an unregistered foreign agent. Mm. But what he was doing is passing voter information onto a Russian operative. I mean, that the fact that, you know, that if there's not a blaze going on in the background, there certainly is a smoldering fire that was going on between Donald Trump and the Russians. I mean, that the Mueller report indicated that there was contact between, you know, Donald Trump and Russia, but he just didn't bring it out, push it far enough. And what Bill Barr, you know, kind of soft-sold the whole thing and said, well, nothing to see here. Well, there was plenty to see here. And if I'm James Comey, I'm saying, let's see the whole, let's show the unredacted Mueller report here, mm-hmm, and with all the sort of supporting documentation and show that, you know, that indeed Donald Trump may have been playing footsie with the Russians during the 2016 campaign.
Well, if you believe the Steele dossier, he was playing more than footsie. But, I mean, you know. but, yeah, I get it, Mark. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Yeah, I guess I'm not getting – the only part that works me up about this whole thing is, once again, I think it's more evidence that Donald Trump is using – American institutions like the Department of Justice and others, and weaponizing them politically against his opponents. And I personally feel, simply my feeling, that I wish that Merrick Garland, when he was the U.S. Attorney General under Joe Biden, would have used those powers not to persecute and prosecute Joe Biden's enemies, but to bring justice quicker. And I think that had that happened, there's a good chance we would not have had Trump 2.0. And that's based on, look, this guy's already a convicted felon, Donald Trump. Sat, judged by a jury of his peers, found guilty. And I wish that would have happened. But hey, we got to play the cards that were dealt. When we come back, we talked about the Republican gubernatorial candidate dropping out. We'll tell you a shocking idea from a Democrat who is running for governor of the state of Wisconsin. What does he want to do to high school athletics? We'll tell you on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosham.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen
yeah.
to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Let's remind each other life matters. If you're feeling overwhelmed, help is just a call away at 988. It's National Suicide Prevention Month, and you are not alone. This message from the Civic Media Radio Network. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all our beer.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Hour number two, your chance to win in the Text to Win contest, green and gold. In our Text to Win contest, stay tuned for that. Great cash prizes and otherwise. Also, Brady Ewing in hour number two talking about a little controversy. Head coach, former head coach and athletic director Barry Alvarez calling out fans. How does all this affect a player, both in college and then on the positive side, Milwaukee Brewers? Their final homestand starting tonight at AmFam Field. Our own Patrick Jerome, better known to you as Pat Kreitlow, is going to be there this weekend.
And he will.
And Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter, be down there as well. So how does having the it factor, as Pat Murphy says, how does that affect the team? We'll discuss that with Brady Ewing coming up in hour two in another edition of What's Worse. But right now, as the song was alluding, and I love having a Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, at a Brewer game.
Oh, me too.
However, maybe not at a high school event, but have no fear. We talked about Bill Berrien, Republican gubernatorial candidate, pulling out of the governor's race earlier today, moments ago, hour ago. But now here on the Democratic side, Ryan Sternad. He appeared, was interviewed by WMTV, the NBC affiliate here in Madison. He has an idea how to help out public schools. Here is Ryan Sternad, Democratic candidate for Wisconsin governor on Channel 15.
Being interviewed by Vanessa Keldson.
You say quality education at all levels. What does that mean to you?
Money needs to go into school systems. We could think out of the box here. How about selling alcohol at high school sporting events? I think, one, it would be rude to the kids, unfortunately, who aren't old enough to drink, to see adults drinking, but that purchasing of the beers at high school football facilities is actually going into the schools. And we also have to be careful on some liabilities. What happens if someone is driving back from a high school football game and gets into an accident? I know it's a bold decision to make, but hey, that's revenue.
Hey, that's that's it. Let's not have our state legislators be more responsible and fully fund or largely fund our public schools. No. Let's sell alcohol because, you know, high school fans aren't salty enough at referees and officials who aren't making much money, really. Let's gin things up at our high school stadiums even more and get them whack out drunk.
My absolute favorite part is that his number one concern he brings up is not the safety or the rowdiness of the crowd. It is, well, I know the high schoolers might feel a little left out, but hey.
He called it, correct me if I'm wrong, it would be unfair.
Yeah.
Unfair to the high schoolers that couldn't drink legally yet. And of course, there's that little problem, you know, if somebody gets in a drunk driving accident on the way home, that could cause some problems.
I'm going to go ahead and say that this is not a good idea.
I think that, God bless him for putting his name out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, anybody who puts their name on a ballot, I mean, hey, you're out there, you're trying to do something, you're not a keyboard warrior behind some anonymous account. But maybe this would be a good day for a twofer. Maybe Ryan Sternad on the Democratic side should follow Bill Berrien on the Republican side and withdraw. Call it a day. And look, I hear he's a very popular beer vendor at AmFam Field, Ryan Sternad.
I wonder who would supply to the high schools.
Right?
No, I'm sure there's nothing there.
Right? Miller Lite. Bringing you tonight's high school football game. It's PJ on YouTube says, wow, that was the dumbest idea I've heard yet. Which one is going to talk about legalization of cannabis?
Oh, I'm sure that discussion will
happen. That's a whole other discussion, right? But yeah, selling alcohol at high school events, not exactly an idea that comes from the brightest bulb on the string. But hey, it'll bring in revenue. All right, we got time for Phil Hartman. Ish. All right, Phil Hartman, the great Phil, late great Phil Hartman, would have been 77 today. Of course, he met his untimely death in a terrible murder situation years ago. But he was best known for impersonating Phil Donahue. Here is the late great Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live in his Donahue best.
You've had a string of degrading relationships.
Yes, I have.
Now, your last boyfriend got drunk. Totaled your car with you in it, which left you in intensive care for over a year. And during your painful convalescence, he never visited you. He withdrew your life savings, spent the money on other women, held orgies in your apartment, got you evicted. And yet I understand you still live with this man.
Well, you would really have to meet him. You know, David is like, he's like a bad little boy, you know? He's like, when he looks at me with these big puppy dog eyes, and I can't stay mad at him.
Now he sold you to an Iraqi businessman. Didn't he?
Yes, he did. But his landscaping business was faltering, and he needed the money, and David never intended for it to be permanent. See?
With us today is Dr. Norma Heffering, author of the book, Women Good, Men Bad.
doctor. You know, what the heck's going on? Enlighten us.
Well, Phil, these women lack a basic sense of self-worth, and this makes them feel they deserve everything they get, they deserve.
Now, what prompted you to write Women Good, Men Bad? Was it something in your personal life?
I'd really rather not discuss it.
The late, great Phil Hartman at his absolute best, a spot-on impersonation of that one time the number one daytime talker, Donahue. Absolutely great. We miss Phil Hartman immensely. Come on back. We don't want to miss you. Hour number two, your chance to win tickets to the Green.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The innocent victims were worshipers at a Mormon church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Four of them were killed when a man driving a four-door pickup truck with two American flags in the truck bed rammed the church doors, began shooting, and then lit the place on fire. Police Chief William Rennie says they're unsure at this point if more victims might be found.
The entire church has not been cleared because it's a total loss due to the fire. So these first responders right now, they're in recovery mode. They're trying to fight through all the debris.
The attacker died in a gunfight with the police. He's described as a 40-year-old Iraq war vet. Another 40-year-old who says he's a combat veteran with PTSD is being held now in North Carolina for allegedly shooting from his boat into a beachfront bar where people were enjoying live music. Three people died in the town of Southport. New York Mayor Eric Adams ending his candidacy for a second term. This is ABC News.